I might speak your words and faithfully share your instructions. And Father, of the things that I do faithfully share, may we hear your instructions. May we not forsake your teaching. May your instructions and teachings be a garland around our head and pendants for our neck. Help us not to forget what you would teach us. And may our hearts keep your commands. And as we do that, may keeping your commands, may it help us, bring us many days, help us to live a full life and well-being. May loyalty and faithfulness never leave us. And so we pray that you do this work in us by your Spirit this morning, through this word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you ever watch those old cartoons, the ones where someone would have an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other one? The angel would tell them what they really should do, and then the demon would tell them something that they wanted to do, but everybody knew that that wasn't going to end up well. Now, I guess, I mean, not to belittle anything, but there's a real sense that as we read the Proverbs, there is something similar. I mean, just hear me right. There's something similar going on. I mean, the way the Proverbs sets itself up in chapters 1 to 9 is that we are all people walking around in a marketplace, and and we're hearing all these voices. And the voices which are calling out loudest in the marketplace, there's two. There's the voice of woman wisdom, and she's calling out, telling us what we really should do to find everything that we're looking for. I mean, look at these verses from Proverbs chapter 1, which says, you know, wisdom calls out in the street. She makes her voice heard in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. She says, if you respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. And whoever listens to me will live securely and be undisturbed by the dread of danger. I mean, in Proverbs 9, she calls out again. Whoever is inexperienced or, you know, unwise, who doesn't really know what they should do, enter here. To the one who lacks sense, she says, come, eat my bread and drink the wine that I have mixed. You know, that is, that she has personally worked hard to prepare. You know, leave inexperience behind and you will live. Pursue the way of understanding, for by me your days will be many and years will be added to your life. I mean, and this is what Proverbs 3 says about this woman. You know, happy is a man who finds wisdom, who acquires understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, and her revenue is better than gold. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant and all her paths peaceful. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her, and those who hold on to her are happy. So no wonder in Proverbs 4, twice Solomon says, get wisdom. Listen to her voice when she calls. I guess the good news for today is that when we read through the Proverbs, we can hear this voice of wisdom. That we can hear it and respond to it and come in and learn. But sadly, woman wisdom isn't the only voice who's calling out to us in the marketplace as we go through life. Proverbs 9 also introduces us to another woman named Foolishness or Folly. And she comes up in other places in Proverbs 1 to 9, but this is what Proverbs 9 says about her. Folly is a rowdy woman. She's gullible. She knows nothing. She sits by the doorway of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, and she calls out to those who pass by. So here, you know, you've got wisdom calling out, we've got folly calling out to us. She's calling out to those who go straight ahead on their paths, saying, whoever's experienced, enter here. To the one who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten secretly is tasty. But he doesn't know that departed spirits are there with her, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. It's the place of the dead. Basically saying everyone who goes to her dies. You know, do you notice this woman is also calling out to the experience? She also wants us to listen to her and turn aside to her and follow her and do shady things in secret that are easy. I mean, it's easier to steal bread and eat it in the shadows than it is to make it from scratch. And I mean, and there was no baker's yeast in those days like we know it today. I mean, do you know how much effort it is to make sourdough bread like they would have had to back then? Like, it can easily take more than a day from go to woe to make a loaf of sourdough. Like, and you have to work it over and over for a few hours to make it work too, because if you don't, it just doesn't work properly. Like, it's no small task, making bread. It's much easier to steal it. But there's a big problem. It's a sure path to death, is the way Proverbs is setting it up. For people who turn to woman folly and eat at her house, they end up being departed spirits in the grave. So folly is not a lady that you want to hang out with. And the way Proverbs sets it up, you know, every day of our lives, all the decisions we make, we have both of these ladies calling out to us. And the question is, you know, who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the voice of woman wisdom, or are we going to listen to the voice of woman folly? Oh, sorry, my computer's playing up on me. But we'll get there. Now, I mean, some of the things that we've covered so far, we've got a bit of an idea what the voice of woman folly sounds like. I mean, when we talked about anger a few weeks ago, we know that the voice of woman folly is calling out, just be angry, just take it out, let it go, uncontrolled, it'll feel good. But we also found out that week that if we do that, it's destructive. It's like letting off a bomb. I mean, the week after that, we learned that a woman folly is the lady who's crying out, you know, just start a fight and conflict. You know, if somebody bothers you, then just have a crack at them. It's, you know, it's going to make you feel good. But again, the voice of woman wisdom that we heard that week was that it's best to not start a fight and a conflict if you can avoid it. But, you know, I mean, last week we talked about friendship and neighbours. I mean, you know, the voice of woman folly is take what you can. Look out for number one. But the voice of woman wisdom is different. The voice of woman wisdom says, no, life is hard enough as it is for everybody. The wise thing to do is to just help lighten that load for the people who you run into. I mean, in the context of our topic today, I mean, imagine we're talking about lies today. And so, I mean, just to start building a picture, imagine you need a bit of money because things are a bit tight, or imagine there's something that you really, really want, like a particular job, or the perfect house goes on the market, or you just hate paying tax. I mean, imagine that there's something that's important to you. What are you going to do? Well, I guess reading through the Proverbs, we can see what woman wisdom and woman folly would say. In woman folly, she says, look, it's okay to stretch the truth a little or not tell the whole story to get Joe Bloggs to give you a bit of money. I mean, and if you're hungry, I mean, just think about how sweet that bread will taste if you can just get a little bit, you know, get a bit of his money. I mean, it's okay if you're a little bit creative with the storytelling because it's for a good cause. You know, you need to eat after all. A woman folly would say, you know, those things that you treasure, that job, that house, those things are good things. So it's okay to do what you need to get them. It's okay if you tell a little lie here if you need to. It'll only be a little lie and no one's going to get hurt really. I mean, you work so hard for everything else, it's okay to take a shortcut. Just here and there, I know you're not doing it all the time. I mean, she'd say, look, Just lie to the tax man. The government has heaps of money. They won't audit you. It's your hard-earned money anyway. It's okay to hide a bit of income here or there or tell a bit of a lie about how many deductions you have. It's not going to harm anyone. It's only the government. We all know that that's stuff woman folly would say. And how do we know that? Because woman folly gives bad advice. I mean, look at Proverbs 20, verse 17. She says, she says, food gained by fraud is sweet to a person, but afterward, his mouth is full of gravel. Proverbs 21, verse 6. It says, making a fortune through a lying tongue is a vanishing mist, a pursuit of death. I mean, and so we know that that's what woman folly is saying, because in the broader context of Proverbs, we know woman folly's advice leads to death. And all the way through Proverbs, lying leads to death. I mean, look at Proverbs 12, verse 20, verse 19. A lying tongue only endures a moment. Proverbs 19, verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies will not escape. 19, verse 9 is like it. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies perishes. Takes it to another level. 21, verse 28. A lying witness will perish. And not only do lies hurt the person who speaks them, lies hurt others too. In 26, 18, a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth causes ruin. Now, I guess just at that point, it's important to point out here, when Proverbs is talking about lying, it is talking about sort of the whole range of falsehood. You know, there's straight out lies, saying things that are just blatantly not true. Sorry, I was late. I was stuck in the traffic. When really you just slept in that morning. Or, you want to catch up on that day? Oh, sorry, I'm busy then. When you're not, and you know it. Or, I'm fine. When really you're not fine. You just want to come across like you've got everything together in life, even though you don't. Because, you know. And we want to come across like we've got everything together because it's, you know, being middle class and keeping up appearances of succeeding. I mean, the truth is no one has everything together. So it's a real reason why God gives us the church, to help us bear each other's burdens, to use our gifts to be a blessing to one another, because no one's got everything together. But anyway, so there's just flat out lies. I mean, Proverbs is also talking about flattery in that last one there, you know, which is saying nice things that aren't true to try and manipulate people to do what you want them to do. And there's being a false witness, which is particularly bad. I mean, remember, one of the Ten Commandments is about that. It's like when you don't like Billy and you go to someone else and say, you know what I saw Billy doing? And then making up a story which is going to get him in trouble. I saw Billy talking with Frank, and I bet he was talking about how much he doesn't like you. I mean, it's even worse if you're before a court of law or some other tribunal, because if you make up a story about Billy, you can really get him into trouble. I mean, and there's a few proverbs here about false witnesses. 14 verse 5, you know, a dishonest witness utters lies. 21, 28, again, a lying witness will perish. 25:18, a person giving false testimony against his neighbour is like a club, a sword, or a sharp arrow. You know, someone who causes destruction. And then 24:28, you know, don't testify against your neighbour without cause. Don't deceive with your lips. And so, with that last proverb there, we see that Proverbs is talking about the big falsehoods, like those ones, like just flat out lies, like false witness. But it's also talking about little falsehoods as well. The times we're a little deceptive. I mean, we like to think deception is in the realms of, you know, used car salesmen who just kind of say, oh, it's a great car, look at the paint job, it's amazing. But they just don't tell you there's no engine in there. That's, you know, that sort of thing. You know, that what they tell you is true. but they're just leaving out a bit of the truth so that you get a false impression of what's actually true. I mean, we like to think that that's what, you know, in the realm of used car salesmen, but like we all do it too. We're all a little bit deceptive at times. Just when we might tell things which are actually true, but we just say it in a way so that someone deliberately gets the wrong idea. But, you know, but if they come back to you, you can say, well, technically what I said was right. You know, like when someone asks, have you taken the rubbish out? And you say, yeah, I took the rubbish out. But you're really thinking, well, technically I haven't taken the rubbish out. Technically I have taken the rubbish out before, so I'm not really lying, but I just haven't taken it out this time, but I'm just going to do it now. So if I do it now, no one's going to find out. And then it'll be all good. So I haven't really lied. I mean, technically it's not a lie, but it's still deceptive. It's still false. And Proverbs is against that sort of stuff. I mean, so you get Proverbs like, 12:17, a false witness speaks deceit. They're hand in hand. Or 14:25, one who utters lies is deceitful. So, I mean, there's the big ones, false witness, lies, but they're also really connected with deceit, which is, you know, maybe a little bit littler. Or 24 to 26, a hateful person disguises himself with his speech and harbours deceit within. When he speaks graciously, don't believe him, because there's seven detestable things in his heart, he's just not sharing them. Though his hatred is concealed by deception, his evil will be revealed in the assembly. So there's the big falsehoods, even little falsehoods, they're foolish in the Proverbs. Whenever we feel that temptation to tell a falsehood to get that thing that we want or get out of that thing that we don't want, we need to remember that that voice that we're hearing is coming from woman folly, and she is leading us to our death. But you might be sitting there thinking, but that sounds a bit drastic, doesn't it? I mean, little white lies, you know, just little deceptions that technically aren't even lies. Does that lead to death? That sounds a bit over the top, doesn't it? Well, Proverbs is quite clear in saying, no, it's not over the top. But if Proverbs is saying it's not over the top, why is it such a problem? And we can go back to a proverb that we covered a couple of weeks ago. We covered it a couple of weeks ago, but it's important, so we'll read it out again. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. The Lord hates six things. In fact, seven are detestable to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet eager to run to evil, a lying witness who gives false testimony, and one who stirs up trouble among brothers. Do you notice a certain word twice in that list? Lying. And there's another word, false. Lying, falsehood, they are a big problem because God hates it. It is detestable to him. And in case that wasn't enough, we've also got Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are detestable to the Lord. Now, I'm not a prophet, but my understanding is that if you do something that's detestable to the Lord, it's a very dangerous place to be in. And it's a dangerous place. And that's the place where woman folly lives. That's why her guests are dead. So don't listen to her voice when she calls you into falsehood, even if it's just a little one. So if that's woman folly's voice calling out to us, what does woman wisdom's voice sound like? Woman wisdom relentlessly says, tell the truth properly. In 12:17, whoever speaks the truth declares what is right. 14 verse 5, an honest witness doesn't deceive. And we know that this is the voice of woman wisdom because it leads to life. Truthful lips endure forever. A truthful witness rescues lives. So it's not only good for the person who tells the truth, it's good for those who are around them as well. And in contrast to falsehood, which God detests, faithful people are God's delight. I mean, the Proverbs teaching here is really quite clear. It's always wise to tell the truth, the whole unedited truth. All forms of falsehood, lying, flattering, false witness, deception, all forms of falsehood are deadly, dangerous folly. Now, I know that's a pretty serious term, calling it deadly, dangerous folly, like especially when you just, you might just be talking about putting the rubbish out when you hadn't, especially when you just went and put the rubbish out anyway, but saying that that's deadly, dangerous. But just let me zoom out and give a bigger picture of the Bible's perspective on lying, and hopefully we'll see why it really is a deadly, dangerous thing. Now, I mean, so if we go right back to the very beginning, I'll just throw out a question. What is the first recorded sin in the Bible? Now, before you say Adam and Eve eating the fruit, there was a sin recorded before that. Adam and Eve eating the fruit, that was the first human sin, for sure. But what happened before they ate it? The crafty serpent deceived. He lied. He asked, "Did God really command you to eat of that fruit of the garden?" The serpent knew that God didn't say that. He was deceiving. But then when he said, "You will not certainly die," that was a bald-faced lie. His deception and lies brought ruin and death on those around him in Adam and Eve. I mean, I'd even say that it's going so far to say he's giving false witness because he's saying that God said something that he didn't say. He's certainly using the name of the Lord in vain because he's attributing to God things which are just not true. So there's all sorts of sins which are happening there in Genesis 3 before Adam and Eve. He lied, he deceived, he was false, but and they believed it and they ate the fruit. But I guess it goes, as we look through the Bible, it goes deeper than that as well. The devil lied because lying is his very nature. And this is what Jesus says about him in John chapter 8. He's talking about the devil and he says, he was a murderer from the beginning and he doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he's speaking from his own nature because he's a liar. He's the father of lies. So when we're shying away from the truth, it's not just listening to woman folly, which is still a really bad idea, but it's not just that. It's also turning away from God as our Father and turning to another, turning from the God of truth and turning to the Father of lies. Not a good place to be. I mean, the most vivid place this whole idea is illustrated is in Revelation, where the devil is described as the ancient serpent. The one who is called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. And this evil lying dragon raises up two beasts, and together they try to deceive the world that their unholy trinity is greater than the true trinity. And their deception is pretty effective until it results in the destruction of them, along with all the ones that they've deceived as well. So, I mean, all through the Bible, one of the key things about the devil is that he is a liar. There isn't a shred of truth in him. And yet God is completely the opposite. God is a God of truth. Hebrews 6 says it's impossible for God to lie. I mean, 1 Peter 2 says that when Jesus came, no deceit was found in his mouth. There is no falsehood in God. And just on that, I mean, isn't that good news? I mean, isn't it good news that there is no falsehood in God at all? I mean, we've all been hurt by someone lying to us. I'm sure I don't need to ask for hands. I'm sure everybody has. We've all felt the pain of having false accusations made against us. We've all felt the feelings of betrayal when someone's deceit has unraveled and we've realized that we've been deceived. I'm sure you all know how lonely it feels when you feel like you just can't trust anyone. I mean, sadly, these are things that we're just going to have to deal with this side of heaven. You know, lies and deception are the order of the day here. We need to be on guard against it and test everything that comes our way. And remember, in Proverbs, one of the enemies, I mean, one of the things about woman folly is that she's gullible. One of the enemies is the gullible people, the one who just believes what they're told and goes along with it without testing it. I mean, we can't just be like that here, sadly. Everything we read, everything we see, every person that we talk to, we need to have our guard up to some extent to test everything, because not everything that claims to be from God actually is. And having to have your guard up all the time, it's tiring. You know, sometimes when we let our guard down and let something in that we shouldn't, it can create big problems. But what we believe in the gospel and why it's good news is that we believe that God is trustworthy, that he is faithful, he is true. In fact, he is the truth. It's impossible for him to lie. And when we're with him, we can safely let our guard down for a little while and rest. You know, while we look forward to a day when all falsehood will be in the lake of fire and it's never going to hurt us again, we're not going to have to hold up our guard against it ever again. You know, we will have a time of rest from falsehood forever. I mean, it's just to kind of try to illustrate this. I mean, it's a different thing, but just try and illustrate it a little bit. I mean, at Bible College, you could do your Bible subjects, you know, your Old Testament, your New Testament, theology, that sort of thing. If you're writing an essay and you had a point to make, you could just say, well, this is what the Bible says. Point made. Proverbs says, it's wise not to lie. And here's all the points where it says it's wise not to lie. So there you go. I've made the point. That's what the Bible says. I mean, sure, you talk about what the commentators and the theologians, they'd make arguments and stuff like that, and you'd interact with that. But ultimately, where you make your point is this is what the Bible says. Because we trust the Bible, that it's right and true. Church history, on the other hand, that was a lot more difficult. Because by and large, in church history, you're not dealing directly with the Bible. I mean, people who you read about in church history, they were dealing with the Bible themselves and trying to make heads or tails of it for the time that they were in. But by and large, in church history, you're not dealing directly with the Bible, but with history. And history is always a matter of interpretation. Sometimes you read one historian say this about something based on his interpretation of the sources, and then another historian says that based on another interpretation of the same sources, and they're completely different to each other and they can't both be right, but they're both looking at the same thing. And you just go, well, which one's right? I don't know. And you just don't have something that's fully trustworthy like the Bible to come back on and go, oh, okay, well, that guy's right because that's what the Bible says. You just don't have that in history. It's much harder work. And I guess life is kind of like that as well. I mean, when we're living in the Bible, when it's God's words and God, you know, and just God's words that we're living in, you know, we can rest knowing that we're in God's truth. We can rest in a way that we can't at any other time. I mean, as soon as other people get involved, things become more difficult. Because we can't trust that people are fully true, that there's no falsehood in them in the way that we can with God. I mean, even if you're talking to me or you're listening to me preach, don't just believe the things I say because it's me. I hope you're comparing the things that I say against what the Bible says to see if what I'm saying is true. I mean, I hope it is. I try to make sure it's what it is. But don't believe me just because it's me. Only believe me if what I say lines up with what the Bible says. I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, in a world where we expect lies and deception, I mean, not not purely, not everything that we hear is a lie and deception, but we expect it's going to come across our path sometime. With God, we can expect faithfulness and truth, and we can expect that all the time. In a world where we can't ultimately trust anyone or anything, we must test everything, we can rest knowing that God is trustworthy. I mean, also here, you know, we want to be a compelling community. Compelling because the way we relate to each other is different in a good and powerful way. And if we're a community of people that just tells falsehoods to each other, we're just like, you know, what's special about that? There's nothing compelling about that. People can get that anywhere. They don't need to come here to be a part of people who lie and are false and deceive each other. And so when you put it in that bigger context, you know, lies is not just wisdom and folly. Lies is following God or following the devil. Lies, you know, deceit can be toxic to the mission of the church. When you put it in that bigger context, you see that truth and falsehood, they're much bigger than just being a good idea or a bad idea. You know, telling the truth is godlike. Falsehood is demonic. Truth leads to eternity with God, while falsehood is going to end up in the lake of fire with the devil. Now just quickly, the contrast between truth and lies. There's a lot of wisdom in how you tell the truth as well. Remember when Jesus came, he was full of truth and grace. He didn't just come and hit everyone over the head with the truth to crush them and injure them. But, you know, telling the truth in a wise way, we'll cover that in another week. The big idea today is that when we're faced with a choice between a truth or a falsehood, the truth is wise and godly. The falsehood is foolish and demonic. Even little falsehoods. And, I mean, it's even little falsehoods because, look, if we're going to go down that path, the first falsehood we get tempted to, it might only be a little one. It might be, you know, just, it might be like saying you'd already taken out the rubbish when you hadn't, when in fact you were just about to do it. But the thing about falsehood is that once it's started, it's hard to stop. And once it starts, it's like a snowball that just gets bigger and more destructive over time. I mean, because once you tell that falsehood, then you need to come up with another one so people don't realize that the first one wasn't true. And then, so, you know, like when you take the rubbish out after you said that you already had and you open the door and then there's someone there who said, where'd you just go? And, you know, to cover that first falsehood, you're just like, I heard a funny noise. I thought I'd better just go and check on it. Really? What sort of funny noise? Did you see anything? No. Well, at least that one was true. But once you start down that path of falsehood, it locks you in, so you need to keep coming back with new ones to keep it rolling, or else everything just falls apart. And this big, you know. I mean, no wonder the worthless, wicked person in Proverbs 6, he goes around speaking dishonestly because he's spun such a big web of dishonesty that he's stuck in it now. And all he can say is false. Anything else, and the whole thing would unravel. Unless, that is, you are willing to own up and tell the truth and to confess that sin. Because then the truth will set you free from that snowballing. I mean, it might not set you free from all the consequences, but it'll set you free from things getting worse and worse. I mean, on that one, it doesn't always mean that telling the truth is going to be easy. Sometimes it's really, really hard to tell the truth. Sometimes it costs us a lot. Think of Jesus before the Sanhedrin. Jesus, when he was before Pilate, when they ask him, are you the Son of God? Jesus, no deceit in his mouth, he says, well, yeah. And he gets hung up on a cross for it. mean, think of Christians in places like Afghanistan or Iraq and Syria when ISIS were there. A knock comes on the door and the question gets fired through. Are you a Christian? Truth or a lie? And that's one that's come up in church history over and over again, and not everybody tells the truth to that one because it costs a lot. And even here, we should expect to hear the question from time to time, why aren't you doing what we're doing? Do you really believe that Jesus stuff? Knowing that if we answer that answer truthfully, it's going to cost us something. So we're in a fallen world where things aren't the way that they're supposed to be. And sometimes telling the truth comes at cost. But even when it costs us a lot, let's keep looking to Jesus as the example, who was truthful even when it cost him his life. And I think of Hebrews 12. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, and yet he overcame it all. Think of what he did so that you won't grow weary and give up. Because sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes it costs us. So I guess as we come to the end, Proverbs speaks quite clearly on this point. All forms of falsehood are foolish and we need to turn away from them. Wise people tell the whole truth. And when you look at the Bible as a whole, this is a really big issue. So I hope as we go into this week, I pray that the cry of our hearts will be the same as that of Agur in Proverbs 30, who, of the two things that he asks God, two things that he pleads God won't deny him before he dies, it's this: keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me. Because he knows how serious it is. So I pray instead, may we be people who walk in the truth, just like our Lord, who is the truth. Let's pray that it would be so. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of truth. We thank you that you are trustworthy, reliable, faithful, and that we can rest in knowing that that is who you are and we can count on you. Father, help us to live wisely in this fallen world. Help us to be people who imitate you and your truth. Help us to be people who plead with you with these words of Agur, that you would keep falsehood and deceitful words far from us. Know it may cost us a lot here. May telling the truth help us to find life with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if the musicians would like to come forward, we've got another song. So let's stand together and sing, Come Praise and Glorify.